This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. The remnants of Hurricane Dennis are still spinning in the Midwest, but forecasters now have their eyes and are tracking a new storm. Tropical Storm Emily is increasing in strength east of the Caribbean. It's not a powerful storm at this point. Maximum sustained winds are just about 45 miles an hour, but there is plenty of warm water ahead of it, and so Emily could get stronger and threaten the coastal United States in a couple of days. Now, Emily is the fifth named storm of this hurricane season. That's an all-time record for the number of named storms by this early date, July the 12th. Thomas Crean is the meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service forecast office in Newport, Morehead City, and he joins us now. Hi there, Thomas Crean.
Hello, Melinda. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks for being with us. Well, this is very early to have a fifth storm, and it's very early in Emily's existence, but where does it look like Emily is going right now?
The Hurricane Center forecasts out to 5 days in advance, and right now it is headed pretty much to the west, northwest, and it looks like it's going to slide just to the south side of Cuba. So if you extend that further on, if you take a big leap of faith, you might think that there's a good chance it's going to go into the Gulf of Mexico, much like Dennis did.
Sure. So, and not threaten where you are in Morehead City and the rest
right.
of North Carolina. Is there a point in the Caribbean where a named tropical storm either turns and comes up the Atlantic seaboard or veers off? I mean, is there a rule of thumb that you have of saying once it's at this point, there's no way it's going to turn north?
Especially in the weather, nothing's ever for certain. But one rule of thumb that we look at here is we look at Puerto Rico. And if a storm passes south of Puerto Rico, more often than not, it will move, into the Caribbean and into the Gulf of Mexico and not affect the east coast of the United States. Of course, that's not necessarily always the case. The steering currents are really the Bermuda High, which I think everybody's heard about, is just right off the east coast, and it's kind of like a paper boat going down a little river, and the river kind of circles around the Bermuda High. So depending on the exact location where the center of the high is, the storms, they start curving to the north. And so as the high builds more toward the east coast, the steering currents will take the storms more on the southern part of the high there. It'll take them into the Gulf of Mexico, and that's pretty much what's been happening so far this year.
And just to be clear, when you're speaking of steering currents, you're talking about currents in the air, not currents in the
yes.
water. We're not talking about the Gulf Stream here.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mentioned a minute ago that this is an all-time record for named storms by this early a date, just the 11th and 12th of July when the storm is named. Is there any thinking as to why there have been so many named storms this early in a hurricane season?
Well, we've been in the business of predicting the number of storms probably throughout the last decade or so. And at the beginning part, we were looking a lot toward El Nino and La Nina, and there was a lot of research done in the 1980s, say, about La Nina and El Nino. The short answer to your question is the water in the Atlantic this year is abnormally warm. There are many different things that go into the forecast, though. For example, we look at the pressures over the Atlantic, the pressures in the Caribbean, how much rain has fallen in the eastern part of Africa, the upper level winds. And so there's a lot of parts of this puzzle. But if you just want to distill it down to one thing, especially this year, is that the water is extremely warm in the Atlantic this year.
So the warmer the waters, the more strength it gives to that storm. And so a storm that in another year might have just, fizzled out before it got to Puerto Rico, now it could certainly have more strength than
yes.
it would if the waters were cooler.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So what does this bode for the rest of the hurricane season?
Well, you'd have to think that there was such a fast start that we'd continue to have, a big year. I don't see any reason that it would slow down. I don't think the waters of the Atlantic are all of a sudden going to cool in the middle of summertime, because more than likely that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So even the forecast for the year, at the beginning part of the year, we were calling for 15 named storms. The normal is only 10, so we were calling for a season that's 150% of normal, which is a big year already, and so the forecast is just panning out, and if anything, you'd think it'd be, it would go even higher than 15.
Now, named storms, of course, are a different thing from major storms. So,
right. Well, named storms, we name the storms when they get to tropical storm strength. Not all named storms are hurricanes. Some of them are just tropical storms. And then we have different categories for once they get to be a hurricane. Simply, we can use numbers 1 through 5, categories 1 through 5. And we, when it gets to a category 3, which is about 110 miles an hour sustained winds, we call those major hurricanes, categories 3, 4, and 5.
And how many are we predicting for this year?
Four, I believe.
And how many were predicted last year? Because it was a pretty big hurricane season.
Last year, the prediction was almost identical to the prediction this year.
Oh.
And last year, we had 16. We originally called for 15, but we ended up with 16 named storms last year. So, you know, we're right on track to have a really big year.
Sure. So
actually, we're ahead there.
We are. And November 30th is the end of the hurricane season, and it seems a really long way away right now when you're talking about these major storms.
Well, I have even worse news for you. That's true. You're exactly right. That is the official end of the hurricane season, but there have been hurricanes that have actually gone into December.
Lovely.
And even in January, they've crossed over in the new year. One did.
When was that?
I don't remember. It's been quite a while ago, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the exact year.
Did it hit in North Carolina? Or?
No, it didn't make landfall at all.
Oh, okay.
Usually, a lot of the late storms in November and December, they usually don't make landfall. They're usually way out in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, November 30th is really the official end.
Sure.
But most of the storms actually occur in a normal year now, in August and September. And September 10th is the absolute peak of the hurricane season, September 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a ways to go, like you said.
Indeed. You mentioned that it was the warm water that caused this. What causes the water to be so warm?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure that even I can answer that one. It has to do with how active the intertropical convergence zone is, where the most intense sunlight hits the ocean. You know, basically, it all comes down to the sun. How much? That's where we get all our warmth here on Earth.
Mm. Could it be loss of, you know, the layers that might keep a lot of that sunlight out? I mean,
yes.
Or global warming?
Right, and I don't know about global warming. I don't know if I want to leap that far. It also has to do with the water currents, too, depending on the different currents. You know, they change year to year. They're not like a river on land that has banks on the side, and so it can't change. The currents in the ocean do change year to year. You get warm eddies, like the Gulf Stream. Just about everybody's heard about the Gulf Stream current that goes up the East Coast. And it's basically in the same position every year, but it does move around a little bit, and warm eddies break off it, and cold eddies break off it. And so it's a very dynamic system. It's a very complex system.
Well, I do have one more quick question about hurricane names in the last minute or so we have here. There was a Hurricane Dennis this year, the one that is now in the Midwest. Many North Carolinians recall another Hurricane Dennis back in 1999. This was the one that seemed to have come to the North Carolina coast twice.
Exactly.
in the space of a week.
Dennis 1, Dennis 2.
Right. So why would NOAA give the same name to another storm just 6 years later? Aren't there enough male D names to go around?
Actually, you just hit it on the head. The naming of storms actually started back in the early 50s. They started during World War II. The meteorologists in the Navy, they used to put their wives' names on these different storms when they're at briefing times. And in the 1950s, 1953, we used the phonetic alphabet, which is Abel, Baker, Charlie, and
mm-hmm.
so on. And then in 1953, we started using women's names to name the storms, basically just so we can keep track of them. Year to year, and
but wouldn't they have retired Dennis after what it did to
North
Carolina?
Well, they do retire names. In 1979, they started using both men's and women's names, and that we do retire names that do significant or cause significant damage or for sensitivities to some of the people affected. Like one big one that affected North Carolina recently was Floyd with all the flooding.
Okay.
And that one was retired. But we can't have new names every year. For a while, they did that.
Okay. Well, Thomas Green, thank you for being with us today. Thomas Green is a meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Newport, Morehead City.